You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome to this edition of the Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill. This time we're looking ahead to the action that's coming up on Friday the 27th of July. And as usual on a Friday during the flat season, it's a busy day of action. We're at your talks to Ascot and Thirsk in the afternoon live on Racing Radio. Before our attention moves to Newmarket, Chepstow and York in the evening, there's also Irish meetings from Dan Royal and Wexford as well. We'll try and squeeze some of those in on the show. But here on the podcast, my name's John Kibbe. Joining the studio by Chris Pimlott. Hello, Pimmers.
Oh, very good afternoon to you, GB. You sound a little bit subdued there.
Do I?
Yeah.
Compared to
like,
you, maybe.
As if, like, you know, the world's coming to an end very shortly, or, you know, there's going to be some big boost in fixtures next season, or something that just might make you feel a little bit subdued, a little bit downhearted.
Well, I would like to say, before we move on to talking about the issue of meetings and fixtures and numbers of events and things like this, I'm not someone who's particularly one of the naysayers on this issue, so that wouldn't be why I'm downbeat, nor do I feel particularly downbeat today. I think it's a comparative thing, because you're, as usual, full of life.
Well, indeed. At my time of life, just glad to be here. Worried that waking up dead could be dangerous, you know what I mean?
That does sound dangerous.
It does sound dangerous, buddy, so don't do it.
Well,
don't do it.
We'll take a look at Friday's racing in a minute. We've actually got a couple of good listed races to talk about. But we'll start off by discussing the news that was only announced very recently as we record this podcast on Thursday afternoon. The 29 fixture list has been published, and Pimmers has a record 1,511 meetings. That's three more than this year, but also when you bear in mind that we've had a lot of abandonments this year, especially over jumps, but also on the flat, you can see that the number of meetings in practice will probably be a fair bit higher next season. A lot of people have been saying on Twitter and other places that they're not very happy about this. It's diluting the quality. What's your take on it?
I no issues with it whatsoever. I mean, three extra meetings, gee whiz, no big deal, is it? And diluting the quality, well, goodness gracious me. The fields that are filling, certainly at this moment in time, and during this period of the summer, is when there's so many racings on afternoon and night, the 45 to 60s, they're filling, because there's lots of horses about in those sort of categories. So to say they're diluting it, I don't think we can dilute it anymore, if you know what I mean. There are lots of average horses out there, and there's lots of races for them to participate in. So for me, no bad thing at all. And as you quite rightly say, with the abandonments we had this year with the rain, you can't believe we abandoned for rain. Now we're struggling for a drop of rain anywhere. Again, you know, I think we just bite the bullet, crack on and enjoy it. Slight concern, re the weather. Somewhere like Bath yesterday. You know, firm, hard in places, small fields, all bar one favourite one just about, I think. That, for me, is not racing.
Yeah.
You know, I think that you're putting the horses' welfare at risk a little bit there. Be interested to know how many horses came out of that Bath meeting yesterday safe and sound without sore shins or lameness or whatever. So something like that, for me, I thought maybe we should have said, listen to that, guys, it's not quite what we want for the horses, this. Although some will go in it better than others, but I don't think any particular thoroughbred wants it hard.
There were a few implications that the ground at Bath was hard. They were just avoiding calling it hard because they thought they'd be basically pushed into abandoning or switching the fixture by the BHA. It's difficult for Bath, isn't it? Because they haven't got a watering system.
Yeah.
It would be difficult for them to put a watering system in because they're so far above sea level.
Yep.
And they're not a big course. They're not a course for a lot of top quality action, not that there was particularly any yesterday. So from their perspective, when you know, I know the welfare of the horses obviously has to be first and foremost, but they're in a bit of a quandary.
They are, but by the same token, you know, this is nothing new, is it? we've known for years and years at Bath can't water, so that's fine. And to try and do it artificially, as in like with a bowser, like you would do at your point to point, that wouldn't work for flat racing because it would make it too patchy.
Right.
You know what I mean? And then that becomes even possibly a bigger problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Going from a good bit to a good to soft bit to a hard bit doesn't work, you know.
It's funny as well because there's no pleasing a lot of people, is there? I saw on Twitter today, actually, Ascot announced that they were obviously still watering ahead of the King George coming up on Saturday.
Yep.
And someone went, "Why on earth are you watering? There's thunderstorms forecast on Friday night. You know, you're watering when it's good to firm ground already in this weather ahead of one of the biggest races of the entire year, and you still got people moaning."
Well, yeah, but you're never going to please all the people all the time. That's the biggest problem. The main thing is you please most of the people most of the time, and then they've got a chance. And, you know, the poor clerks of the courses must be in some big quandary. Again, at York for the weekend, you've got Friday and Saturday. We have forecast thunderstorms, but we've been forecast thunderstorms for the last few days and not had a drop of rain. So if he'd waited for the thunderstorm to come and not watered, he'd be in a pickle now because it's not arrived. So it's a very, very difficult task managing these courses at the moment in time. And again, the forecast is you could get a thunderstorm. On the other hand, you might not, you know. So not an easy task for them, to be fair.
Weather predictions with Pimmers.
Indeed, indeed.
Or just explaining why it's so difficult to predict the weather.
It is.
But it'd be interesting to see where we go from here with this, obviously, with the King George coming up on Saturday, a number of contenders either already out of the race or their participation very much in doubt because of the ground and thunderstorms forecast. But as you say, that doesn't necessarily mean they're going to come.
No. No, definitely not. So I think, again, lots will stand the ground at the 48-hour declaration stage.
And which then, we had this morning, of course.
And then see what happens in the next couple of days.
Yeah, which is what they did with Cracksman. They've kept him in just in case there's a downpour, which there could be.
That's right. But if you're not in it, you can't play, can you?
Yeah, that's very true. We'll turn our attention now to take a look at Friday's racing. We've got some good racing coming up on Friday, Pimmers. A couple of listed races we'll talk about now, including with the King George meeting getting underway at Ascot. Their feature on the Friday is a listed race at 3:35 for fillies and mares, the Valiant Stakes, over a mile. I haven't got any betting on this yet at the time of recording, but what are you looking at as a potential winner of this race?
I thought this was a very competitive race, as you'd imagine, for a fillies listed. Couple that I liked in the nine-runner field. First of all, I like Bashir, the daughter of Ifraj, trained by William Haggis. Sylvester doing the steering aboard that one. She's been in really good form this season. She came good last time out at Ascot. She runs over the same trip as she won out here last time. She was in the hands of Danny Tudhope on that occasion. And again, she looks like a filly with a really progressive profile. She went from a mark of 88 to 97. And I do feel that mark of 97 could well go beyond 100 after tomorrow afternoon. So she's a mega, mega player for me there. And the other filly that I liked, a daughter of Dutch Art, she's in the shape of Preening, who disappointed last time out when she was a beaten favourite at Sandown. But I do feel that there could be a little bit more to come from her. And again, she's a profile that looks progressive. And certainly there looks a little bit more to come from her. So two against the field in that fillies listed race. Number six, Bashir, and number eight, Preening.
Yeah, with Preening, it's interesting. Ran in the listed race at Sandown last time, and I remember in that race, just very keen in the early stages, and you sometimes wonder with these horses, especially when, you know, she's only a three-year-old, she hasn't had all that much racing, especially in good quality stakes races. But you just wonder if they could get her to settle early doors, you know, she could find a good amount of improvement.
Oh, she certainly could. And again, she's in good hands with James Fanshawe. I think he's working on about a 12% strike rate at the moment. And obviously, he's got the irrepressible William Buick on board. So you've got lots of ticks in boxes regarding Preening.
That was Ascot's 3:35, then the Valiant Stakes. Also at York in the evening, we've got a listed race. That's the Lyric Stakes at 7:30. And again, this is for... Well, just for fillies, actually. No, fillies and mares, in fact. 3 year plus. At the extended mile and a quarter is the trip for this one. Six declared for this one. Pimmers, what are your thoughts?
Again, very, very competitive, as you'd imagine. Pleasant surprise Haven't seen her for 278 days. If she strips fit, she's certainly going to be a player. Jamie Spencer knows this daughter of Marshall Craftsman inside out, as he's been on her on many occasions, and certainly feel that she will be a player if she comes to the races fully tuned up. The other horse that I thought was nice was Stage Name for Hugo Palmer and PJ McDonald. Admittedly, this daughter of famous name has a lot to find on what she's shown in the past, but again, a profile for me does look fairly progressive. And obviously the one that they have all got to beat is Desert Diamond. She ran very well in defeat the last time we saw her, and that was at Sandown, again in a listed company. Danny Tudhoper rode her on that occasion.
Same race that Preening finished third.
That's right. Ocean Murphy takes the leg up on the daughter of Dubawi tomorrow evening, and again she's in very capable hands of Sir Michael Stout. Definitely the filly with the profile to progress.
So who are you going for then?
Desert Diamond. It would be a pleasant surprise if number one did win. And again, it's not unusual that the lyrics of this are often sung by Sir Tom.
Big fan of Sir Tom, are we?
Big fan.
Good to hear he's recovering.
Yeah, he's going to make it this year. He's going to make it because there was a little bit of question about him turning up on the Maysmire tomorrow night. But my insider at the Naismire says he's definitely turning up.
They also tweeted it this morning.
But, did they really?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
I didn't think you'd be a man for after racing concerts, to be honest with you.
Well, listen, it's all part of the package, isn't it? You know what I mean? And York will be rammed out. There'll be ladies' underwear flying left, right and centre from the county stand tomorrow night. And then Saturday, Boyzone. Fabulous.
Yeah.
The boys from Ireland. What could be better on a Saturday evening? And hopefully by then, these forecast thunderstorms will have whisked themselves away and everybody will be basking in sunshine.
It'll be firm ground for eternity everywhere, and Bath will still be racing.
Exactly, exactly, buddy. But it's been a long, long dry spell, hasn't it?
It has.
One that many people can't remember to have lasted so long, that is for sure. And other than these rogue thunderstorms, it doesn't seem to be anything coming our way for quite some time. The other thing that worries me a bit about is dehydration for both equine and human. Hard work performing in temperatures like that, and especially if that heat is as humid as it has been lately.
We've seen a lot over the past couple of days, including today, Thursday, as we record this as well, that the courses are taking measures in terms of, for example, just using the pre-parade ring for parading horses before racing and things like that.
So, oh yeah, I mean,
good to see those measures in place.
They will do their utmost to make sure that the horse's welfare is top of the list.
Great weekend of action coming up, including the King George live on Racing Radio on Saturday, and a great day of racing on Friday as well to enjoy. Please join us online or via the William Hill app from 1:30, and join me tomorrow here on the Daily Racing Podcast, where I'll be joined by Craig Forsyth. Pimmers, thanks for being with me today.
My pleasure.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.